afterward. So I'm really not going to provide you with a system for finding God. Nothing with five steps, all starting with P. No acronyms, no enthused exclamation points. I have nothing so organized or excited. I have only random observations about what happened with me, what didn't work, mostly, and what I thought about that. Stuff that seemed to help. Interesting things people have said. I'm just pointing, telling you to reach out to him. I believe he is reaching out to you, but I'm not going to talk about it specifically except to tell you I think you should do it. Talk to him. He's there, behind the molecules, ever imminent, the source of all good stuff. And I'm not going to tell you exactly how to interpret the Bible in your daily life. I'm not going to go into Calvinism, Arminianism, post-tribulation or pre-tribulation rapture or no rapture or Israel versus the church or universalism or anything like that. I'm just going to tell you to read the Bible and think about it for the rest of your life and use it as a way to get to God, as a way to let him get to you. It has no other use, really. Do not use it to make yourself or your doctrine look really specially super correct. I'm not going to tell you to go to church or not go to church. I'm just telling you to get to know God and to deal with him directly in your own time, not just with other people, but at home alone too. We aren't to be trusted, us other people. We have agendas. So I'm saying to only explore Christian communities as a way of getting to know and experiencing God with others once you already have a connection with him. There is really no other worth in them. They are no substitute for him. I don't think God wants you to be a legalist or some kind of rule-following neo-Pharisee. I don't think he wants you to be amoral and lawless either. And I think grace is a scary concept we're bad at teaching others about with our lives. But what I think doesn't matter. Take it up with God. See who he makes you into throughout your life when you work closely with him. It's not my business. But I hope you're okay. I hope you're doing fine and getting in touch with him despite all of us. We Christians, regardless of who we worship with, are stupid, and we suck. Sometimes we're very fake, and often we're not very nice, because we're just people. So I hope you're learning what's good, and how to enjoy good stuff. I hope you're learning how best to be you. God loves you, and love is the only thing that works. A reply on Facebook that somehow turned into a poem without me quite knowing why. To not quite answer your question. I believe that many of us suffered, like Joseph being stripped of the coat his father gave him and thrown into a pit in the night, suffered like Joseph being sold by his brethren for money to be taken away and out of their week, to be bound and banished and enslaved, because we saw and heard and dreamed too much, because God spoke to us, and because we could not block our ears to him, although we tried. And I believe that many of us found that God was in it. And we woke up in Egypt, and God was in Egypt too. Woke up and avoided temptation and failure, were punished and imprisoned for our inconvenient, unreasonable integrity and insights, but ultimately found we were somewhere God could use us, somewhere we could never have taken ourselves, doing things we never could have done if we had been allowed to remain at home. And we found ourselves in a place where people asked us what we saw and what they ought to do to deal with their dreams and what any of it means. And we found ourselves wearing finer coats than any our fathers could have given us, dreaming and interpreting dreams we never could have dreamed, were we still in our father's house, quieted. And I believe that God is using us as he intended, even to feed the ones who sold us into slavery, pushing us out because we were not wanted to the place God wanted us pushed. And I believe that now they're the ones who are starving, sick, poor, wretched, blind, nakedly exposed before the rest of the church and Egypt. And now we must feed his lambs, for there is famine in Israel.
There be great immovables. Once men now turned to rocks, that a kid could climb up if he brought rope and his nice red climbing socks. But he would meet a person halfway up there leaning on a crutch, a kindly, simple, crippled man who thinks we think too much. Beware the cripple. Story is a simple one, but one that's seldom told. He's feeble and he's senile, but he isn't very old. He broke his legs while climbing up these selfsame very rocks, traversed only in fantasy by a friend in his red socks. Beware the cripple, standing in your way. He ground up all his strengths and he put them in a pot. Then he boiled them and reboiled them till he was happy in what he got. Was a tarry grayish poison of a very nasty kind. Now he spoons it out to everyone as tonic for the mind. Beware the cripple, standing in your way. Calling all his friends, wooden warriors on wooden crutches, glass bottles full of goo, with plastic spoons to cram in your mouth. Kid, that stuff will kill you. Beware the cripple, talk to him, 'cause he won't rest till you've had your fill of his crock-concocted cure-all. Then he'll kick you down the hill. He will toss you down, a crutch to use unless you can get past. The one thing that could save you is he can't run very fast. Beware the cripple, standing in your way. Calling all his friends,